Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Steve Arterman here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today. You know, there's a big difference sometimes between God's plans and our plans. And we'll talk about that and many, many other things here with your phone calls today on New Life Live.
Hi, Steve Arterman here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
My question is, does forgiveness always include reconciliation?
But dads can invite their daughters to another level when they go there themselves.
Has focusing ever been an issue?
You think that ADD thing is only Steve, huh?
Yeah.
No wonder you connected.
So tell us where you're the bad guy here.
Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. It's not the well that need a physician, but the sick.
I never thought of it like that.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud and your phone calls. We always love being here with your phone calls. We have some tips for you. They're free. 6 steps to leave your baggage in the past. And then our resource is a tape by Dr. Henry Cloud, Leave Your Baggage Behind. You'll love that. You call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And for those that support the ministry this month, New Life Coffee Mug. It's the new New Life Coffee Mug.
What's the ergonomic design change, Steve, that makes it rad?
Well, here's the thing. We had a cartoon of all of our faces on the other one, which caused acid reflux in many people who were drinking their coffee.
We've removed
What we have done is remove the picture. So we believe that this is going to be a more enjoyable coffee drinking or tea drinking experience for all those who get the coffee mug.
You have to put the cup close to your face to drink out of it, and the face-to-face is a little
It's
too
just
much.
Too close. Yeah. Much okay. too good.
Get some distance here.
Exactly. So I hope that this will be good. Now, anyone who can't drink coffee without seeing our faces, we will enclose a life-size portrait of one of us. But anyway, I think the new mug's going to be a good thing. John, I mentioned at the start of the program that our purposes often get in the way of God's purposes. Our plans often aren't God's plans. And what a great time to be evaluating, is my plan lining up with God's plan?
Mm-hmm.
What's a way that we can evaluate whether or not our plan is lining up with God's plan?
Well, I think one of the best things to do is to take a really kind of brutal look at all of the bad plans of last year.
There you go.
In other words, to subject to the light of scrutiny and God and other people and all that, and look at all the brain damage we experienced and think, okay, what did that have to do with a purpose that I had last year that didn't work? Maybe it was a way to handle a relationship that I was in that didn't work, or a habit that I was having that didn't get solved, or some reality I didn't want to face. And then it's where we didn't experience growth in the past. The Bible tells us to look at the past as an example. In 1 Corinthians, it says, look at Israel's life and what happened to them as examples that you don't follow the same things. And then, once you have an idea of that, then to look at this year and say, okay, now it can be different. So don't just avoid the past. I guess what I'm saying is look at it and learn from it.
You know, it's important that we look back and evaluate and decide to make a change. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, when I look back at my own life, mistakes, difficulties, it's always been my plans versus God's plans. Mm-hmm. And if I can just surrender to what God has in store for me at that particular season of life, life is so much better, full of so much more joy and peace.
And one thing God may do, which He does, is say, you know, the problem you had last year was caused by another problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the relationship thing or the habit thing was caused by something else inside of you. You know, like a lack of good boundaries or a lack of love inside or self-centeredness. And so I'm going to give you my program this year that has to do with your spiritual growth.
Right. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help or if you'd like to order the 6 steps to leave your baggage behind, that's an audio tape by Dr. Henry Cloud. And again, as I mentioned, those that support the ministry, we send you the New Life New Coffee Mug. It's a great companion for that New Life Travel Mug that hopefully all of you got. We'll take a break and come back right after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an Every Man's Battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. And your phone calls. And let's go right to those phone calls. And let's talk to Mary, who's calling from Newport, Kentucky. WAKW is the station. Hi, Mary. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I have an anger problem. It'll be 4 years in February. I was married to my second husband, and I was shot because I was trying to leave him. So he shot me three times.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I used to work for the Transit Authority here in northern Kentucky. And and so my anger problem is...
Did you have any lasting effects from being shot?
Yeah, I suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, and I hardly ever go out of the house.
Mm.
In 4 years. Only time I leave out is for the doctor. But otherwise, I don't leave out of my apartment. And the people that I rent from, the first 6 months, I couldn't be moved because I was injured so bad. And then after that, I tried to ask them to help me move into another apartment because I was having flashbacks. Serious ones, and then I became suicidal, which right now I still am. I just have a lot of emotional and physical problems.
Mm-hmm.
I applied for Social Security, and they turned me down, and I just feel so stuck because I don't have any help financially as far as my medical situation is concerned. None at all. I've been struggling on my own. My children have been trying to help me.
Is this where all your anger comes from, or these
kinds
of things?
Yeah, because I'm no longer a productive citizen, and people look at me and treat me. They talk to me like I'm nothing, you know, no respect because I receive food stamps, and I've been a tax-paying citizen all my life,
right.
And now I'm like a nobody, and I get treated like that.
Mm. What's your question for us? How
can
we help you, Mary?
How can I... I feel so dumped on, and I just want to know, how can I get over the anger part? Because if it wasn't for him doing me like this, I could still be able to work and pull my own like I always have.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that sometimes I can't get out of bed in the morning from pain,
right.
I just want to lash out. And because I'm not a violent person, I think of ways to kill myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, and your question for us is,
what do I do with all the suppressed anger that I've had?
Okay,
well, I mean, it's just coming out all kinds of crazy ways.
Can I ask you real quick what happened to him after he shot you?
He's in a penitentiary.
Okay,
you know, for a while he would try to get through mailing me things through the mail and stuff like that, but I had the district attorney stop that.
Hmm. Mary, what is your community of support right now? Who are you seeing how many days every week with this level of severity?
I have a doctor that I see once a week. I've been seeing her for...
Medical doctor?
She's a psychiatric doctor.
Uh-huh.
And because I live in Kentucky and don't have any insurance, I have to go to Ohio for my medical... And because
I'm asking about the emotional issues.
Emotional.
Who is addressing
those?
Oh, that's
basically the doctor that I see over here in Kentucky.
Have you told her that you have suicidal feelings still?
Yeah, I told her the thoughts, you know, about it, and we talk it out. And basically, I mean, she's really good because she gets down to the nitty gritty about it, and something went wrong today.
So is she addressing the anger you're asking us about?
Yeah.
What does she say about it?
Well, she was saying that the reason that I felt all these different emotions about myself is because I've always been a person that said yes to everything, and whether I wanted to or not, and basically never addressed my own feelings because I...
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so if that just makes sense to you, what are you asking us about? It sounds like she might have a good answer there. So tell us how we can help then, as different than what she's telling you.
I just feel like it's such a slow process. If I can, I'm always looking for confirmation. So if I kind of get it from you, like I got it from her, you know that. I'm always second-guessing myself.
All right, let me give you a confirmation.
Okay.
And that is that there are many different sources of anger, and the solution to the anger is going to be dependent on the source of the anger, where it came from. But if what happened is what she says, that you've always been kind of the pleaser and all that, then it becomes very clear that the anger comes from never having choices and not feeling free, and especially that you don't have power and control. And so... What happens then is you go through a process of reestablishing what kind of power and control you can have. You had no control when your husband shot you. It was a horrible trauma. That's what causes PTSD.
Yeah.
But what happens now is that you get involved in the community support, wherever that is, not just once a week seeing her, but in people who are on your side and not looking down at you, and establish what kind of things you can do, rehab-wise, hobby-wise, meaningful activities-wise, all those sorts of things, so that you feel like you've got some choices in your growth and some choices in your recovery, and that begins to resolve the anger issue.
Okay.
So I would agree with what she's saying, and I would say it's a time to get active and kind of enlarge your sphere of what God has for you, and then you don't feel like he robbed your life because you're getting a life. When we get a life, then the anger begins to resolve.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Because I do feel robbed. Okay.
Yeah, don't let him rob you one more day.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah.
We'll send you God Almighty away.
Okay.
Mary, God bless you, and
bless you
that you've had to go through this, and I hope that this is going to be a good year for you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, hold on, and we'll send you God. We'll make a way, and anybody else interested in that, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and you can order that. Dr. Henry Cloud is with us now.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Hey, while I was out, it seems like you guys got some serious calls.
Serious.
We try to handle the tough stuff when you're gone. It just makes the show go better.
That's probably wise. Can you imagine that? I mean, you know, a lot of times we think we know what a hard time is, but then you talk to somebody
who
gets shot by their spouse.
Mm. That's terror.
Gosh.
All right, let's go to Fran in North Dakota. KNDR is the station. Hi, Fran. Welcome to New Life.
Hi there.
Is that Mandan? Is that the name of your town?
Yeah, Mandan, North Dakota.
Mm. Named after the man Dan, of course.
Hey,
Fran. Like Mandan's is like a twin city.
Mm. Fran, I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Your question on the screen says that you're going to ask us if you're paranoid. Well, I just got a question.
Go ahead.
How are you going to believe us?
I guess I just have the confusion, and I need to get something straightened for myself. I do have some valid answers I have about that, and it just doesn't match with what they're telling me, and so I've got some confusion I'm trying to straighten out here.
Okay, tell us about it.
Well, the things that I do know that are factual, actual, are I have seen a therapist now for about 3-4 months every week, mainly talking about the abuse and rape in the past. We did have trouble in the other apartment we lived in before we came here with a telephone, and we had called...
Who is the we?
Me and my children. I'm a divorced, okay, raising my children. Mm-hmm. And we did find what was wrong. We called the police, and they called a specialist and the telephone company, and they checked the wires, and he said there's a radio wire coming in where the telephone wire is supposed to be coming in, so he said that's odd, and he fixed it. That's all we got from there. And in this apartment, we moved here about 7 years ago.
Wait a minute, Fran, something had occurred beforehand?
What
occurred?
We had
when
trouble.
You said the rape, what happened?
My past. I was raped and abused. I was abused 8 years of my marriage. I'm divorced, but I have a history of abuse and rape.
How long has it been when you say history?
My marriage ended 18 years ago, and I ran there out of there through, took the kids and ran to the shelter, and I was there. I got my restraining order, and I got a committal order. And
so
then
it's been 18 years since you've had any contact with him?
I pretty much had to have phone contact because he is ill. He's a veteran, and he's now in a nursing home, so
okay.
What
I'm trying to understand is there something recent that has happened that's made you fear that somebody's after you, or is this all in the past?
They're not after me.
Did you think someone was listening into your conversations?
Yeah, that's the problem I have.
Who do you suspect that the they is?
I don't know. It's just that when I see my therapist, you know, like this morning, she come out and really kind of stated that I thought my phone was tapped and had called me. Now I'm a severe paranoid, and I go, I didn't tell you that. I didn't release any information. I haven't talked to you about that. I have talked to other people, but I don't know how she got that information.
So you suspect your therapist has some contacts
that I haven't given her,
uh-huh,
and no right to have, since there was no release of information signed. And I'm just kind of
wait a minute.
Wondering.
There wouldn't have to be a release for her to find out something. Are you thinking that some friends or somebody told your therapist that you thought this?
I don't know. I have.
Why don't you ask her where she got that?
Well, because I've got 8 brothers and sisters. There's about 5 of them living within 80 miles of me, and I've had trouble with them the last long while, many years, and it's mainly because I refuse to have them dump on me. I have told them.
So you feel like they might have told her?
Somebody did.
Okay. Well, what's your question for us?
What do I do with this confusion? Who do I ask? I don't know how many people are involved. I don't know what rights they have or what rights I have. I don't know. I don't want to go ahead and, you know, I just want to get my healing.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
I think the main thing that I would protect, you know, if you're looking for healing, the main thing that I would try to protect is the therapeutic relationship, because it's based on trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would do is, you know, you really can't see a therapist that you you think is doing something weird, especially, you know, tapping your phones. I'd make a move to get that resolved. I would talk to the therapist and say, where did you get this? And, you know, track it down to get a good answer to your satisfaction, or either change therapists if you can't get, you know, past that. But if you get some good answers and you still fear it, then it may be that you have some, I don't know if you call it paranoia, but you have certainly some experiences that would lead you to be suspicious that, you know, bad things can happen to you, and then that becomes a therapeutic issue. But I think the first thing you got to solve is to make sure that you are with help that you can trust. And obviously, sometimes we have trust issues, and that's what a therapist is, mm-hmm. is there to help. So at some level, you've got to get in a place where you trust your therapist, and that's, I would think, the number one issue. Second thing, if you're really scared about this, and you have radio wires, the phone says in your house, and you get somebody to scan it, mm-hmm. I guess.
Henry, before we even talk with her, you really came up with the big dilemma, kind of the catch-22 of being paranoid, is that you can't trust or you won't trust the advice that right. you're given.
Right. And you know, that is a catch-22, because the more we need, the more we fear, and the more we fear, the more we need. And, you know, kind of the thing that tips that over the edge really is community.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can always think that, you know, any one person is not telling the truth, they're out to get you. But safety is always in the group. You know, if you are connected to somebody other than your family, a community, a spiritual community, people will know or looking out for you, that's where the safety is. It's hard to triangulate that.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. Today's program has been pre-recorded. If you'd like to make a donation or register for an upcoming workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
We've been married for 26 years, 6 kids. If this didn't work, I was ready to file.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Dallas November 6th through the 8th.
Like they said, it's probably cheaper than divorce.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and the different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now, and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
The sparks are already rejuvenated.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Artiber from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep, and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Artiburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. And let's go to Jackie, calling from Atlanta, listens to WNIV. Hi, Jackie. Welcome to New Life. Jackie, are you there? Missed a tremendous opportunity for the finest advice on Christian radio today. let's go to Rose from Hazelden, Pennsylvania, WRGN. Hi, Rose. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I love your show. I listen to it as often as I can.
Thank you.
And I respect your advice, and I think you give very practical advice, and that's why I'm calling you.
Thanks. How can we help you?
Well, I have a 3-year-old niece, and she's the only grandchild in my husband's family.
Yeah.
And she is totally not disciplined by anybody in the family. And it's causing a lot of disruption at family gatherings, to the point where my husband and I don't really enjoy going to the family gatherings anymore. And we also feel that she's not being served. She's not being parented correctly.
Rose, I need a picture of this, how a three-year-old can ruin a bunch of adults getting together. Now, I want to, it must be extreme. I mean, what is she doing?
Very extreme. For instance, if somebody does something that upsets her, she runs out of the room and cries, which is fine, and then when she decides she's done crying, she comes back and hits everybody who made her mad. And nobody stops her from doing that.
Whose kid is this?
It's my sister-in-law, my husband's sister.
Your husband's sister.
Right.
Okay. So you're
Right.
Let me make a big leap here, Rose, which doesn't take a rocket science. Your husband comes from a family that doesn't resolve conflict very directly and successfully.
Oh, very much not.
Aren't we
very
geniuses on the show?
Yeah.
I mean,
insightful.
Any family that lets a three-year-old kind of control a whole gathering, you know that's the case. So what's your question?
Well, my question is that I can see that her parents, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, really aren't doing anything to discipline her.
Yeah.
And neither are, and her grandparents, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, watch her a lot, and they don't do anything to, in fact, they do things to encourage this bad behavior and laugh it off. I mean, when they say things like, oh, it makes her feel good when she hits somebody. And
it makes me feel good too.
Yeah. Rose, you know, a couple of people I could knock out right now.
Rose, if you're going a logical order of events that makes sense, it would be okay. First step is talk to your the parents, and have you done that yet?
We tried, but they get very offended if we try to interfere. We don't have children. We were never blessed with children.
Wait a minute. We've tried, but they get offended. Now, that sounds like we've tried, but it didn't happen, or we didn't do it because they get offended?
Well, we've tried in a small way to suggest it in the moment, saying something like, you know, maybe if you try doing this or that, you might be able to control her.
Rose,
offense.
That's not a they thing. That's just a you thing. What I'm saying is, when you got somebody with a chronic out of control problem in their life, to make gentle hints that are sort of indirect, just save your breath. If you really are concerned about this, and I would be, it probably is going to require some sort of a, can we sit down and talk? Something's come up. Formal, like this is an agenda as opposed to a by the way.
Not in the moment.
Not in the moment. Out of the moment.
Yeah, and Rose, we just wrote a book called Boundaries Face to Face. And we're going to send it to you because the subtitle is How to Have That Difficult Conversation You've Been Avoiding. And there's one principle in there that I think you've got to really figure out, because this is a hard one. And that principle is be clear about you versus them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, when you go talk to them, what is your agenda? Is your agenda your interest of you want to be able to go to family gatherings and enjoy the family? Or is your interest, I'm concerned about your child?
It's the child, because I can see that this is she's already three. I mean, the pattern is developed.
Okay.
And I'm afraid that she's going to, I just said to my husband yesterday, this child is going to run away when she's 12. She's the kind of kid who's going to rebel and run away, and I don't want to see those things happen.
Okay. Well, just be very, very clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes what we do in our communication is we're not really clear, and we use examples kind of where they feel like, well, you know, you don't have kids, so you don't know that, you know, you can't have meals and have it your way, blah, blah, blah. And I would be clear about exactly what you said, affirm the relationship, and go in and say, you know what, I'm really concerned about Susie, and I just want you to listen. You know, put it in for what it's worth category, but I don't want you to respond. I don't want you to get defensive. I'm only doing this because I love her.
And if it means risking the family harmony, it's worth it. I guess.
There really isn't family harmony right now,
what
Rose.
No, there isn't.
No harmony.
There's this kind of like avoidance.
Pretend harmony.
Yeah.
Right.
Why don't we send you that book and it'll tell you specifically how to have that conversation.
All right.
And thank God for your concern.
Mm-hmm. You know, boundaries face to face.
It's really cool when family members are willing to risk it for the sake of a child.
All right, we'll take a break and come back. And anybody else interested in boundaries face-to-face, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
This classic program from the archives of New Life Live will be right back after this short break. Today's show has been pre-recorded. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud and your phone calls. If you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, we'll tell you about the Alaska cruise. There'll be a great time of transformation and healing in the most beautiful part of this world, I have to believe. And I've never known anybody that's gone on an Alaska cruise that didn't just have the best time ever and came away a different person. So you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you all about that. Let's go to RJ, calling from Pittsburgh, listens to WORD. Hi, RJ. Welcome to New Life.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. Praise God for that. My question is, how I can learn to love myself, like myself, treat myself better. My background is a child that's been abused physically, sexually, and emotionally. I had been in and out of foster care as a child, and at one point, the kids in my school had found out, and I became the object of ridicule, and I never really had been able to shake that through my adult life. So after I had completed college, I kind of went on a relentless pursuit of external gratification, if you will, spending and overeating and kind of engaging in indulgent behaviors to satisfy myself. And most recently, I had a situation with a friend who's also a neighbor who has also rejected me, and I'm recently involved with a women's Bible study group that has just been wonderful. They've uplifted me and been just amazing. But I still, for as much as I resolved to rely on my faith as a child and knew that God would get me through this, I'm having a hard time just kind of remembering that I'm a child of God, not to sound trite, but I'm really having a hard time. And I'd like to take care of myself so that I can take care of my two little boys that I have and my husband and my family.
Hey, RJ, I'm going to say something a little crass here, okay?
Okay.
Why don't you get your two little boys just to take care of themselves?
What did you say?
Why don't you get your two little boys just to take care of themselves? Why do you take care of them?
Well, because I love them, and they're my gift, and I also don't want to repeat past behavior.
Okay. Then if you do that because they are incapable of doing it for themselves, right?
Right.
And yet, what you say kind of is that you're kind of requiring yourself to do that for yourself. See, the same reason that you would not abandon your children because you know they can't provide that self-love for themselves is the same reason that God has instituted a program for you to be cared for from the outside, not from the inside, because you need it as much as they do.
So,
do you see what I'm saying? Our eyebrows went up. I'll be honest with you. You know, when you first started talking, how can I love myself and take care of myself and remember that, you know, I'm a child of God, and kind of it, when we hear that, there's been kind of a kooky theology that started in the world about self-love, and it's gotten into the church. And there's no such thing as self-love as a source of anything. We are created to be loved by God and by other people from the outside. That's the way you're designed. And so you've obviously not received that in your life, and that's why you've suffered, and God's heart goes out to you. You know, the orphan is his biggest, biggest concern throughout the scriptures. And the commandment is for, it's never, you never see God saying to an orphan, love yourself, do you? Right? Still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you having a difficult time receiving this?
No, I'm just, I guess, you know, I tune into different programs and listen to mm-hmm. different shows, and I've heard that, for example, for a mother has to take care of herself before she can take care of her family.
Right. That's true, but see, where you'll hear something probably different from us, because you know there's no shortage of that other message out there, is what it means for a mother to take care of herself. See, what we would say is that the created order by God is that you are a member of a body, and that's the church, where other people pour things into you, and that's what it means to take care of yourself, that you submit to his grace, and you submit to other people loving you like you're doing in that Bible study, and then from the overflow of what you've received, we love because God first loved us. You see the difference? As opposed to you being empty and having to fill yourself up from an empty place and then having something to give back.
So perhaps maybe I'm wallowing a little bit.
No, the opposite. We would like to see you wallow with other people that go read 1 Peter 4:10 that will give you the grace of God by loving you. So we, instead of talking yourself into loving yourself, we want you to be loved by other people so much that your heart is so full that you just kind of end up forgetting about yourself.
Well, that's a good point. And truth be told, whenever I'm around the group of women who I know do love me, they uplift me so much.
Yeah.
And
RJ, doesn't that work a lot better than doing some little formula in your head?
Yeah, absolutely.
RJ, do you let your women, these women that uplift you, do you let your women know these dark things inside? Or is it more like you don't want to bother them with that, just let them encourage you?
Well, at first it was like that, but I felt so trusted and just embraced.
They're inside now.
They're inside.
That's God's path.
Hmm. That's why it's working. That's, so don't switch programs.
Yeah, you're on the right one. And then you know what happens over time. A lot of times you don't even notice this until afterwards. You begin to stop beating yourself up. You begin to accept frailties in yourself and bad things. And you just, because you're so loved, you can look at those things without the self-condemnation and self-hatred. But you have to have the experience that you internalize all that grace from those people.
Okay. You know, it's kind of like...
There's no such thing as self-help in the Bible, RJ. It's just not. And there's no such thing as mental gymnastics in the Bible. And you see this stuff sold in the church all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible is a book about relationship with God and relationship with other people where you're so deeply loved that there aren't any more dark places inside. And you don't have to go through the tiresome, obsessive kind of...
I believe that. And I think, as a child, I knew that. And, when
that's right.
things were happening and unfolding and I was shuffled from foster care to foster care, I mean, I knew that my faith and that God's love would lead me down the path that mm-hmm. He intended for me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I am where I am today. But somehow along the line, maybe it's because of my own, I think, control or quest for control that I've lost that. And I've tried to just control the situation, want everybody to like me instead of maybe surrounding myself by...
It's a lot safer. It's a lot safer to try to do it in your head, and you do stay in control, but you just won't get well. You're on the right way, and just change your theology the way the Bible teaches it.
Mm-hmm. Just lay it down.
We're going to send you a copy of How People Grow, okay? And I want you to specifically look at the chapter called God's Plan A, People. And it'll show you how, see, you're not hurting because God hasn't loved you. Obviously, you're hurting because the delegated responsibility of people to love you early in life, they violated.
Mm-hmm.
See, God put children into the world dependent, like your little kids, to be loved by the big people, and those big people didn't follow through. And so you've ended up with some dark places inside. And now what he says is that he's adopted you into a new family, and that's his church, and it is the responsibility of those around you to begin to fill up those dark places. And what we do as a church is give people little bitty formulas that they have to obsess about in their empty, dark head.
So true.
Instead of, and those are easy to give, aren't they? Be warm and be filled is the way that James says it, but we're supposed to follow through with action of weeping with those who weep, holding each other through the dark times, and that'll fill your tummy.
You know, it's like people can't get wind in their sail because when they're abused like this, it has ripped that sail in half. And the only way to mend it is with God and with other people. You can't do it alone.
That's right.
If we could just nail that down with everybody, it would sure make...
It's so amazing, too. How, we can talk about it after the break, but go read the New Testament. You don't see it saying do tricks in your head. You see it saying... Love one another in the hell.
We'll be back.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical, or doesn't make sense, or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer November 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back, and if you want to have a great resource for your 12-year-old, a 7-year-old, the Young Believer Bible is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, along with Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle and Every Woman's Battle. All the Every Person Battle books are there. You can get them at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. So call us if you'd like to do that. You can also find out about the Everyman's Battle Workshop. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. Let's go back to our phones, and let's talk to Jackie, calling from Atlanta, listens to WNIV. Hi, Jackie. Welcome.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good.
I just want you to know I love your program, and it's just so wonderful the way you help people and point them in the right direction.
Well, thanks.
I just think that's wonderful.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Well, my problem is with my grown son.
How old?
He's 24 years old, and he just got out of college in May, and he won't work. He won't get a job. He's addicted to pornography on the Internet.
He got out of college in May?
Right.
And at 24, so he was late anyway.
Right.
Why was that?
He was late. Well, what happened is that he got suspended twice. And they suspended him for like a whole semester at a time.
What did he do for lack of grades?
For plagiarizing.
For plagiarizing?
Yes.
Twice?
Right.
He didn't learn his lesson the first time?
No, he didn't.
And they let him back in a third time?
And they let him back in.
Hmm. Wow.
And, you know, I suspect it was because he was living on campus and he was on the Internet.
You suspect what was because of that?
I suspect that he was not doing his schoolwork because he was on the Internet day and night.
No, okay. Jackie. No.
There's a deeper...
Do you think every kid who lives on campus has a problem like that? No.
No, well, I'm not... No, I don't think that every...
No, it's because of his character problems.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay. So let's get the problem to be what the problem is, and then we can look at what's going to fix it. Because, if you think it's his circumstances or his environment, he's never going to get better, right?
Right.
Do you work?
Do I work?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Do you own a television?
Yes.
Does it have cable or satellite?
Yes.
Then why aren't you just at home all the time watching that instead of going to work?
Oh, I wouldn't want to live that way.
Well, there you go.
I wouldn't want to live that way.
So remember that every day you get up and go to work and you don't turn it on.
Right.
Okay? Because you've got this thinking, it's a little bit in there with, like...
Well, I'm trying to grasp at straws because, I've been, cutting off his Internet privileges,
What have you done anything to try to treat his problem, to get him help for his problem?
He won't admit that he has a problem. He says he's just a normal red-blooded American boy.
For not working?
Well, for not working, he has a million excuses why he can't find a job, why he can't find work.
How often does he go out and look?
Well, whenever I put my foot down and insist that he gets out or he's got to leave, then he'll go look.
What, how does he look and how often? You said whenever, but how often is that?
Well, at least, let's see, for the last couple of months he's been, say, maybe on maybe 5 or 6 job interviews.
Jackie, ought to have 5 a day. Mm-hmm. Now, come on, if you're in his situation and you don't have a job, what are you going to do? You'd be out there hitting the pavement,
pounding
right?
the pavement.
I would.
So what, you know, and I don't want to be simplistic about this because obviously he has a lot of problems, and Steve's right. The first thing I would do is say, if you're going to live here, you and I are going to go to a counselor together, period.
Right.
Okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to get a plan that you and I are going to stick to that have some realistic expectations and some realistic consequences about your finding work and getting responsible. If you're going to live here, you're going to pay rent, and you're going to go on job interviews, and there's a number of those you have to go to per week, or you can't stay here anymore, or something like that.
Yeah.
He needs requirements and consequences, but as Steve has said, he probably needs help and treatment. Or he wouldn't be living this way. He's probably, you know, depressed or something else.
Yeah,
but you gotta hold him. You gotta hold him accountable.
Right, and lately I've been really kind of afraid because he's been telling family members that he's thinking of killing me and my husband. And
then call the police, Jackie, right now.
Now he's no longer a project for you to help. He's someone to protect yourself against, Jackie.
But he says he's only joking. He says he's not serious about that. He was just joking.
Well, okay, but if he jokes like that, here's what I would do right now, Jackie. You call a good, we'll refer you to somebody. You go see a good psychologist or psychiatrist.
Uh-huh.
And tell them about this whole thing, and you get a plan and figure it out. And they figure out if he's joking or not, or we'll have somebody talk to you here. Because if he, you know, that is a reportable offense for somebody to threaten to kill somebody. That's the thing that police look into.
It's like, even if it's like hearsay through another family member, because he's never said it to me or my husband, but he said it to other family members.
You know, he hasn't. If he's saying I was just joking, he's admitting he said it.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
We'll let somebody talk to you off the air.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But look. This is it's destructive for him to be able to live without any requirements and consequences and things like that. We want the best for him, and just floating through life at 24 is not good for him or you.
It's like those birds, you know, they eventually, once they all the feathers are in place, they got to push the little birdie out of the nest or it never learns to fly. And it sounds like he's missing some feathers that need to be put in there through treatment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then he can fly.
In Galatians 4, it's a really cool picture about that, Steve. It says that when we're children, we're under guardians and managers. And then it says, until the date set forth by the father. Okay? So it's a father's role to say, hey, Joey, today is bar mitzvah mm-hmm. day. We are declaring you an adult. We're going to have a party. And you're out of here, and we're going to celebrate your adulthood. But if the father doesn't set the date, man, it could go on. I wish my dad were still writing checks.
So some people need a graduation day.
He's glad he's not.
Hey, listen, we got 6 steps to leave your baggage in the past. Those are free tips. We've got a resource, Leave Your Baggage Behind. It's an audio tape by Henry Cloud. That's from Monday Night Solutions. If you're not in the Southern California area, here's a tape
you
from Monday Night.
You can get solutions anywhere in the country.
Exactly. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll help you with that. And those that support the ministry, we are so grateful to you. We'll send you the New Life, the new New Life coffee mug that has no depiction of anyone's face anywhere on the mug. I think you really like it much better. When you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, we'll tell you about the Lose It for Life Institute in Southern California. You've heard the testimonies, many, many people getting help. And even those who maybe don't lose the weight that they want to lose talk about transformation, their life never being the same. And that's what we love to hear about. And also the Every Man's Battle workshop coming up, the Alaska Cruise. All of that is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we hope that you'll call and either order a resource or seek out one of our counselors, over 500 counselors around the country. And so we believe that there's probably a New Life-affiliated counselor in your area that can help you with your problem. You just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll try to find that right person, that right resource for you. Have a great day. We'll see you here tomorrow again on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.